This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Daylight Savings. Daylight Savings. Because what parents absolutely need is to have bedtime completely messed with twice a year. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is an interview with Chloe Townsend. Each month this year, I'm featuring a writer from Leicestershire. I've gotten to interview some amazing people, some just starting out as writers, some at the peak of their careers, and one absolute legend who I'll be very excited to share with you later on. I tried to get a real mix of authors because I know I enjoy reading more when I learn new things and see the world from different points of view. And it occurred to me that I'd only been choosing grown-up writers. And then it occurred to me that not only did I know a child who's an author, but she lives right here in my house. So I'm very pleased to introduce, for the month of October, my daughter and co-host Chloe Townsend, the show's Leicestershire children's writer, for the month of October. Welcome to the show, Chloe.
I am very proud of myself.
Good for you. Can you tell me about your connection to Leicestershire?
I've lived here for 2.5 years. My dad's family lives here. We live inside the borough of Charnwood. We have a lovely pond in our backyard. I started going to school here just at the end of year two, about 1 or 2 or 3 months. And then I went into year three and now I'm in year five. And that's basically it.
What kind of stories do you like to write?
I do like to write fictional stories with lots of pictures. I usually have the character have a diary or a notebook. Inside one of my stories, Georgia the Gymnast, she has a magic diary when she writes in it. There was this magic lettering that appeared and gave her advice. So a strange man comes to her house. She can do any gymnastics move in the world except an aerial, and she learns how to do an aerial.
Oh, okay. So you like to tell stories from the point of view of a diary. Did you know there's a whole genre of fiction that's called epistolary fiction, which is a fancy way of saying you tell the story using letters or diary entries?
There's this very good series, Dork Diaries. I'm not sure if any of you has heard of them. It's amazing. The pictures are amazing. The authors are amazing. The crew is amazing. Like, everything about it is amazing. And I think it does really have a point of view of a teenager inside school, about to go to high school. And, like, there's this, like, mean girl. There's Mackenzie's the main one. Tiffany is probably my favorite character. Not you. You're a good girl. Tiffany, inside the story, is a bad girl. She has, like, curly hair. And she spray paints Mackenzie's locker.
Oh, dear.
And it says Bug Girl.
You and I co-wrote Cindy Feller, an Old West fairy tale. You were only 7 years old when this happened, and I know I remember a lot about our collaboration, but first, can you tell me what you remember about how you got involved in writing the story?
We just had moved into our new house. We were organizing through a box of papers, letters, anything that is technically made out of papers. But then when I was sorting through them into piles, I think, of letters, notes, and, like, notebooks, I saw one paper that didn't go into one of the piles. It was some writing. I could read a bit of it. I couldn't read some of the difficult words. And my mom told me what it was. It was a story, just a page long or something like that, and she wrote it for a theme park, and the winners got their story performed at the theme park, and my mom won, and I was like, make it bigger, and we did. It was mainly actually for me for bedtime stories. I still listen to it today.
Yeah, so when I was about your age, actually, yeah, it was a story contest through school and a local theme park sponsored it. And yes, you did. You said make it bigger. You were only 6 years old when we did this.
Seven. And,
oh, I apologize, seven. And yeah, so I just started telling it to you and we started embellishing and adding things. And you would say, oh, wait, this part doesn't make sense, huh? Do you want to tell me about how you felt about that part where you were making editorial things that eventually turned into writing?
I know one whole paragraph that I technically helped out with. It was originally when Cindy was riding up to Castle Ranch, she didn't feel anything about the fiddle because her father used to play the fiddle, and I was like, her dad used to play the fiddle. She should be sad.
Those kinds of ideas that you had, I think, really made the story more enjoyable. Like, you had a good eye for spotting parts of the story where we could weave things together, or if something didn't make sense, you'd be like, hey, that needs to be corrected because you said this thing earlier and that doesn't match up with this thing you've written later. And yeah, your notes were more than just comments. You really did write big chunks of that story, and that's why I felt like, gosh, you deserve credit as a co-author. You recently started making your own graphic novels. Tell me how you make your books, the style of your drawings, and maybe how you learn to draw the way you do, and what your graphic novels are about.
I learned how to draw over COVID. I think literally, if you took all of my COVID drawings, scrunched them up into a tiny ball, they would probably fill up a whole entire huge wardrobe, or even more than that. Once I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning and spent drawing until 12 o'clock in the morning or evening, I don't know. How I make my books is I usually use my special writing pen, but now sadly it has ran out of ink. It was a blue one. And then my books, it sort of just depends on what I'm feeling like writing that day. One book is based, it's sort of non-fiction fiction. It has some non-fiction details in it, but it's a fiction story. It's called Cleopatra's Kingdom, my first book I ever wrote, handwritten. Only a couple of pictures in that one. Cleopatra's Kingdom has a girl, 8 years old. I wrote it when I was 8 years old. She evacuated from Egypt when she was 1 month old because the River Nile had flooded, but now there's, like, safety stuff there, and she can move back to Egypt. There's also a book with completely pictures. It's a gymnastics booklet for learners. It has pictures of how to do all the moves. Sometimes it takes quite a while for the books to be finished. It just whenever I have spare time, like from tidying my room, I find an old notebook and I just start writing in that. Like what they're about, it's just whatever I'm feeling like that day.
What kind of characters do you like to write about?
So far, all of my main characters inside my books, except for the gymnastics booklet for learners, so far they're all girls, except for the one I'm working on right now. I've also written another book called School Life. There's about like six or seven girls inside that story. It's like if you've ever seen a script for a play, it's sort of like that. And it's just about six or seven girls. Chloe is the new girl. There's another new girl called McKenna. She sits next to Chloe, but there are two girls inside the group that just, like, suddenly get a bit rude and mean. And in the end, there's a bit of a sad ending. Chloe moves away to Los Angeles forever, and one of the mean girls, Ella, all she says is bye. Nothing else.
Oh, well, not all stories have happy endings. Do you think you're going to keep writing when you're a grown-up?
It depends. Like, I might get a normal job, but then I might just start writing books during spare time and start publishing them, maybe. Or I might write books for fun. But it sort of depends on, like, if I have a part-time job, full-time job, job on weekends. It sort of depends for my schedule.
That makes sense. For what it's worth, some of the writers that I've admired most are people who had other jobs. Very often, some of the best writers in the world start out doing something like being a lawyer or a teacher or a scientist. And their work is more interesting because they're able to take the experiences they have from their real jobs, and it helps them make their writing more real and more believable and more interesting. So who knows? Maybe you'll have some other career, and then that will give you ideas for your writing. What book are you currently working on?
Well, this is a very ridiculous name. Mario the Goombas and the Cheep Cheeps. And then the punctuation after it is exclamation mark, question mark. So it's about Mario, who's trying to save Princess Peach, and he meets this Goomba who wants to be a princess, a ballerina, a devil, an angel, a girl who puts on too much makeup, and what was the last one? A girl with way too big lips.
That sounds very funny. I haven't seen this one yet, so I'm looking forward to reading it.
Also, if you've played the Super Mario Odyssey game, if you're just a beginner, there's this Goomba with like a hat and some lipstick on, and she gives you a power moon if you become a Goomba and stack up tall. That is her mother, and she is just completely embarrassed, and Mario's like, what is going on? And then there's a bomb about to explode, and it's saying 3, 2, 1, and then as it explodes, his hat says no.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Pro tips on Super Mario Odyssey. Chloe Townsend, thank you for being my guest today.
It was my honor.
You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.